Let's pray. Father Yah, we glorify you and we honor you, first of all, for being the Most High Yah. And we bless you for just your presence. And we seek your guidance and we need you to obviously lead and guide us in all truth. And we just glorify you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. All righty. There are some things that we were dealing with. We didn't finish with Matthew. Y'all help me on which. Yeah, Matthew 13, verse 23. So we'll go on there.
I'll get an idea. My thing ain't gonna last long, so get ready.
Okay. Matthew 13, verse 20 is where we stop. 23. Okay. So we'll look at verse 23. And then this is where we started to deal with the good ground, especially from the perspective of dealing with the different types of ground. And we'll just kind of review just for a little bit. When you look at verse 19, he says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom." Now, when we dealt with hearing, the heareth, do you guys remember what we discussed from the perspective of the word heareth? It does have understanding associated with it, but it is implying something that goes on. Well, let's just back up and say it this way. Have you ever heard a person, I know you have, I'm just asking, but have you ever heard of a person when they're hearing someone preach, teach, however way you want to look at it, have you ever heard that individual say, "Well, amen, they're constantly saying amen," and that amen, it gives the impression that they understand. Because they're saying amen, they're in agreement with it, and is he satisfied? They're in agreement with it, and so they're saying amen as a perspective of, okay, I agree with it, you know, I understand it, and so that's the reason for saying it. So when you look at the word hearing, I want you to have that perspective in mind. Someone who is agreeing, who is coming across as if they understand it, and when you listen to that individual constantly say amen and shaking their head, you know, that they agree and that's right and all those different things that people normally say to show that they're in agreement with the message that's going on, it is from that perspective, okay? And so it is understand, but I want you to also add in the words to that understanding. It is reported to understand. But then time you hear somebody say amen, the first thing you would think from a carnal perspective is, okay, they got it. But I'm saying amen, they got it. But if you're in church settings long enough, you realize that a person may be saying that just as a form of repetition because that's what they do in the church services. And so it's not necessarily a fact that they're understanding, truly understanding, or like what Tanya said, it's not that they're listening with the intent of understanding. It's just that it is reported that they understand it based upon the mindset or repetition of the word amen, or shaking their head, yes, I agree, or that's right, and all those different things that's associated with it. So when you hear the word hear it, and then you see the word understand it, it's not, it lets you know that an understanding is there, or the impression of understanding is there, but when you look at it, the scripture is revealing that no, that's not the case. That's really not the case. So again, when anyone hears the words of the kingdom and understand it not, because the word "it" shouldn't be there, it's italicized. Understand it not, then cometh the wicked. They put one, but when you look at the wicked, one, it makes you think of just as being Satan. But when you look at the wicked, it could be any circumstance, anything that has to do with that perspective. So when you look at the wicked, it is something that is essential in character. Not just the one that makes you say, oh, it's the devil who's trying to attack me. The wicked could be any essential character that the enemy may use. It could be a friend, it could be a family member, it could be, you know, a spouse, it could be all these different things, you know, that could fit from that perspective of being considered as wicked. Because what the bottom line is happening, it says, then cometh the wicked and catching away that which is sown in their hearts. So you look at the word catches away, it just means to seize. It means to seize or to catch, to seize, to pluck. That which was sown in his heart, this is he which receives seed by wayside. Okay? So the wayside person, somebody is saying, amen, I agree with that. But when you look at it in the detail, they don't have a clue what's going on. Their understanding is really not there. They're just coming across or being recorded that they understand. Verse 20, but he that receiveth, but he that receiveth seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth, same perspective, understanding or the impression of understanding is there. Amen. And Anon, or what the Hebrews say, Yophos. So Anon with joy receiveth it. So they get excited about it. They're excited about the message, but because there is no true understanding there, the excitement only lasts a while, because the next verse let us know, yet he has no root in himself. He's not grounded in the message that he's heard. She's not grounded in the message that she heard. So the reported amen or a word are used to give the impression that they understand, but because there is no root in it, there is no taking hold of that information to operate within it. It's because it's not there. It says they have no root in itself, but do it for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by they are offended. When you look at that word offended, it means apostasy. This is the same apostasy that we read over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. A time will come, a time will come, I'm paraphrasing, from a perspective of knowing when Christ would return. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe it's around verse 3 or 4, it says, for it will be a falling away. That falling away is the same as offended. So when you look at a person who is offended, that means they have fallen away from the kingdom message that they heard. I heard it, but now I'm offended. It don't mean it from the Americanism mindset that just said, oh, you hurt my feelings. No, this person has turned into apostasy. They heard the truth, but now things are happening. Persecution is arising. Tribulation is arising. Tribulations are arising for that word that was sown, and they start to be an apostasy, whereas they're enticed to sin, to turn away from that truth that they have heard. And you see that happening in churches all day long. People get excited about a message, but tribulation and persecution will arise and cause them to operate in apostasy. We preachers do the same thing. We teach apostasy. That's the falling away of the church. Okay? We teach false doctrines. Okay? But why? Thank you, y'all. Why do the preacher teach false doctrines? He now is trying to get the church marks paid. So every message now he go find that's even talking about seed, he turned his seed instead of the word is now money. And before you get that done, he's telling you how you need to sow no seed. Tribulation and persecution has arisen, but the word says now he's offended or now in apostasy He's enticed to sin to get a person to pay for the church bills that's due, and so and now he's teaching all these doctrine that has nothing to do with the kingdom whatsoever. Everything that has a seed in it or so on, they go find that word somewhere in the Bible, and before you know it, they're pulling out all the scriptures that have to do with sowing. Why? Because tribulation has risen for the word. Because that's no understanding. Okay, now, verse 22 says, he that receiveth seed among thorns is he that heareth, reported, amen, reported to understand the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Yeah, he becometh unfruitful. Things happen to choke that word. People are concerned about deceitful riches, wealth, all these different things, you know, the cares of this world, the things that's going on in the world, to the point where they start to back off from the word, as the scripture says in verse 22, they become into unfruitful. Now, verse 23 is where we want to be now. He says, but he that receives seed into good ground is he that heareth the word. Heareth, they say amen. So they're showing a report to understand. They're shaking their head. They agree. It's showing that they're reported to understand, but here's where it changes now. Heareth the word and understandeth it. So they hear it from a understanding point of view, or be reported to understand. There are things that they do to give the impression that they do understand, but the difference in this individual is what the verse continues to say. How can we know the difference between someone who says amen as if they understand and someone who really understands and may not say anything? How do we tell the difference? Have you thought about that? What is it that we can look at to determine if all of you are saying amen? What is it about each one of you that will put me in position to know if your amen is credible?
The action.
Now you're correct. Now tell us why you said action. What is it?
Because if you're receiving the word and of what's being taught, you're going to want to
do it. Okay, now I got to mess with you now. I got to mess with you. You're correct. Okay? You're correct. Now, you have to be able to, I came at you that way because I'm coming across as someone who don't understand. So you have to be able to give me an understanding of what you just said. You said actions. I agree with you, Holy. That is correct. But how is it can you, so I would ask you then, okay, then how do I determine if your action is according to what you understand? No, I'll stop you. I'm pulling on you because who y'all are. I'm pulling on you. So you're looking and feeling that's the wrong direction.
It will be in line with the word of Yah. My actions would, and
how do I know that? Okay, here's what I'm trying to get at you. When the enemy said things to our Savior Yahushua in Matthew chapter 4, what did he say? You remember when Satan tempted him when he was in the wilderness? You remember the story? The Spirit descends down on him in the form of a dove. He's led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness where he's tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. During that temptation, afterwards, Satan offered him some things. What did he say? Do you remember? Y'all help if you can. What did our Savior say?
Oh, the Savior, what did our Savior say?
Yeah, what did he say? What did he say the Savior would say to offer them things? he said it is written. So from that standpoint, I don't want your idea on what the actions mean. So since I don't want your idea, what do you have to do? I don't want your personal idea. I'm pulling on you guys. I don't want your personal idea, so what do you have to do to explain that?
Show
what's written. Now, how do you do that in this passage? Right, you got to look at the passage. Now, how is it that you're able to show me, based upon what's written, that is that I can identify that there's something going on with your actions? At verse 23. See, when you say action, then what action? Because you know, a lesson that Elder dealt with. What was the title that lesson that you're dealing with?
United Ministry.
Okay, when he was talking about it from that perspective, he was dealing with some things. He was dealing with some things from a perspective of saying, yeah, we can all be unified, but we may not be unified to do what y'all is wanting us to do from a perspective of unification. So when you deal with action, I want the action to be specific. Because the person may be saying amen and may be taking action, but the action may not be in line with y'all. So we got to get to the point where we get that specific to know. So when you look at the verse, so when I was asking, well, I said, don't look in the scenery because your answer is in the verse. You were right when it comes down to action, because this is the difference. A person who hears it and don't understand, you see no action. What kind of action? Unfruitful. See, it's in the verse. And that's why the revelation itself is in the verse, because when you look at the verse leading to the verse, 23, it says now the word, the latter part of verse 22, the riches choke the word, deceitful riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So all of these different types of ground, wayside, thorns, what was the other one? Wayside, thorns, and stony ground, they are grounds that produce an unfruitful crop. I mean, it doesn't produce anything. It's unfruitful. But when you look in verse 23 says, this seed produces something. What does it produce? Fruit. So what fruit? Here's the next question. What fruit does it produce? What fruit does it produce? We agree that it's action. That's true. We now realize that the action that is required to produce is fruit. Now, what type of fruit are we supposed to be producing?
Fruit of the seed that was sown?
Which is? Which is the seed? What is the seed?
The word.
The word. So when you look at it, if I'm telling you if I'm teaching on the state of mind, then the fruit that you should be producing that's good ground that produced fruit should be a state of mind in reference to the subject that we're dealing with. If we're talking about a united ministry, then we should be producing. How do I determine if I'm hearing what Elder said about a united ministry? I should be transforming my mind to produce a lesson by which he taught. That's fruitful. If I'm saying amen, and then I don't produce any of the a united ministry, then I am unfruitful. And y'all said, since you are unfruitful, that means you're the other type of ground who heard the message. You're like, woo, that was pretty good. Tell this world starts going on. Or the other type of ground where you look at tribulations and all these other things that's going on to choke that word out. The fruitfulness of the word should produce what has been sown. So if we're talking about how to be on one accord, then we all need to produce that fruit. And we're talking about, you know, the origin of a great nation, all those topics and things like that that we've dealt with, then we should be producing the fruit by which we have received as being sown into our ground, if we can ground. So I'm able to determine if a person's ground is good based upon the fruit that they produce from what we've been talking about. Okay? So that's how we understand the type of fruit. So verse 22:3 says, verse 23 says, getting wide open, you're right here. verse 23 says, but ye that receiveth seed into good ground, is he that heareth, amen, reporting to understand, shaking everybody, shaking their head. Yeah, I get that. Y'all notice when I teach it, like, you hear me say a whole lot, okay, do y'all understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes I listen to myself on, you know, one of the messages I saw, I'm like, ooh, I'm saying, you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Because it is vitally important that we don't move anywhere further than that subject matter where we not understand. We not understand, we not going nowhere.
Right. If it ain't producing no food, if this seed ain't producing no food, it proves it's no point of towing the next seed.
Exactly. Now you understand the issue with the so-called body of Christ. You got preachers who just trying to give a CD out or a video out or however you look at it. They're trying to get their book out. They could care less if you produce the fruit of it because their mindset is, I want to harvest based upon the money by what you put down to get what I just threw out there. I care less if you understand. That's the mindset. You wouldn't have all these. Matter of fact, you can go back and look. You can go back and look at the topics from our ministry the past few years, and you will see they pretty much the same. We don't change topics a whole lot. Why? Because the most important issue with what we deal with is understanding. And a person not going to just get this by me just covering it. No, this third week we've been dealing with Matthew 13? Because the valid key is to produce the fruit of the topic by which we deal with, because we're walking in understanding. Now, all of us have different levels of understanding. Some of you may understand 30-fold. Look at the scripture. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it and bear fruit. Produce. You're fertile. When you look at bear fruit, it means you're fertile. Anytime you hear the word, you so fertile, you get, I'm going to say it the way, you get pregnant every time the seed is sown and you're going to produce the fruit of what you just heard. You're fertile. Your ground is so fertile that you're producing fruit. Now, it gives examples. Some and hundredfold. Somebody may get it a little bit more than somebody else. But the bottom line, everybody needs to be getting it. My level of being a united ministry may be 60-fold. Well, somebody else's level of understanding a united ministry may be 100-fold, but bottom line, we better be united, whatever fold that is. Some 60-fold, and some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30. Bottom line, each one of that is good. Why? Because all of them are classified as fertile ground. All of them are classified as fruitful ground. You may understand a little bit more than I do, but the point is, do you understand? The problem is when someone is sitting here and the seed of the word is going forth and the individual's like, I don't have a clue. I don't, amen, Pastor. I don't know what the heck is going on. All of us should be getting something. Now, I'm saying that, you ask something?
I'm just saying,
okay.
Don't get asked questions. Otherwise, what's the point?
Y'all know me. I will stop on, we've been stuck on verse 23. That's what we started. Because I don't believe in moving on until we get it. That's the bottom line. We can get it. We can stay in chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13, the rest of this year if we don't get it. Because the kids understand it. Ask questions. We make it available. That's why you always hear me say, this is class. Ask questions. Don't be sitting there not understanding and then you not saying nothing. You want me to tell you, you want me to tell you one of the most ignorant things a person can do is to not understand something but act like they do. Hey, you get it? Yeah, I get it. I understand. Tell me what I'm saying. Can you say it again? Wait a minute, I thought you said you got it. We all want to understand. This is why. This is where we're going as the United Ministry. Each one of you should be able to bear some fruit of every message that's preached at this church. Each one of you should be able to bear fruit of every message that has been preached at this church. What do I mean? What I mean by bearing fruit? You must become it. How do you become it? You have to at least be able to put action with it. Not only with bearing the fruit of it, but you should be able to explain it to somebody else. Why should we be talking about this lesson and then you got to call me to get me to explain it to somebody else? You should be at least able to explain 30-fold. Perhaps I can't explain it like you explain it. That's okay. Can you explain 30-fold? Can you explain 30% of it? Just using that example. Can you explain some portion of the lessons by which we deal with? Can you go and explain to somebody why we are United Ministries? Can you define why? All of us have to be apt to teach. All of us have to be able to bear the fruit of the word by which is being sown unto, that's been sown into our ground. Every message that I've ever heard, I can go back and preach it. I can go back and teach it. I get to the same set of passages. I can listen to the CD of being a United Ministry, and I can come back in every subject matter that's dealt with in that. I can sit there and pull out those same scriptures and teach it just like it was taught. Why? Because I understand it, and I can bear fruit of it. Whether it's 30-fold, whether it's 60-fold, whether it's 100-fold. All of them got to get to the point where we're doing the same thing. We have to bear some percentage of the word that's being sown in this ministry. We're not wearing the towel at this ministry that sheep are dumb. We are disciples here. We only classify as sheep when we hear the voice of our shepherd. When I need to hear my shepherd, now I'm a sheep who hear his voice. Other than that, I'm a disciple. I am a learned one. I am one who walks in understanding. I have the wisdom of the Most High. All of those things are what we walk in as far as members of this body is concerned. But when it comes time for hearing the voice, oh yeah, now we sheep now. I'm gone now. Because everything I'm thinking, I don't want to think, because the sheep hear his voice and they don't listen to another shepherd. So I want to hear his voice. So why? Because now I'm gonna play the role of being dumb. I don't know nothing. Y'all tell me what you want me to do. But when it comes down to producing this word, we're disciples. We're not walking in that sheep mindset. We know what we're talking about. When it comes down to Yah speaking to me, I don't know what he's talking about, so I got to be a sheep. I got to listen. But when it comes down to the word and the seed, I got to produce that. So I'm no longer a sheep who is classified as dumb. I'm a disciple. I am a learned one. I understand. We understand. So all of us should be able to teach on the subject matter by which we deal with, whether that's 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. Each one of you should be able to teach back what's been taught to some perspective. Yes,
yeah, it's almost like you got to learn in what setting what to be. So, and I'll use this example from this perspective. I use the disciples for example. In a setting with Jesus, they were the sheep. But at the same time, they had to take in all of that knowledge to go out and be the shepherds. Because when Jesus sent them out two by two, they became the shepherds to the people that are out there. Well, it's the same mantle that's on this ministry. To be a part of this, you come here to be a sheep to get the understanding, but you got to go out and be the shepherd.
Right.
For us to be a united ministry and uniter of people.
Right. Exactly.
The other thing I want to say is, according to what you said earlier, if we don't understand, it's no point of going forward because we, you know, y'all deal with us precept upon precept, line upon line. Well, if the bottom line ain't secure, you can't really build up on that. It's like a crack in the foundation. So if you keep building up on something where you don't understand, then it's gonna make it where you don't understand nothing that's built on top of it because you didn't understand the line that was below it,
mm-hmm.
or the precept that was below it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, y'all understand? Okay, now, as we move to the next verse, he gives another parable to understand the concept of the seed. Verse 24, he says, another parable he puts forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. Okay? Enemy came and sowed tares. When you look at tares, it looks like a grain, but it's not. It's more like a kind of like a poisonous type of plant, but it looks like a grain. So when it first starts to grow, it's similar to a grain. So you really can't tell the difference between the two. So he sowed tares among the wheat. And went his way. But when the blaze was sprung up and brought forth fruit now, then appeared the tares also. Once it started producing, you could see the tares also. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. He said, so the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then had the tares? Where the tares come from? If we're sowing good seed, then how is this other stuff being produced? Kingdom of heaven is like this. Okay? Then he goes on and said, verse 28, that he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Verse 29, but he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. So he's saying, okay, you got all this poison tares growing up with this good wheat. He said, you can't go in there and start yanking out the tares. Because in yanking out the tares, you gonna destroy the wheat along with it. Okay? Verse 29, again, he says, but he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Verse 30, he says, let them both grow together unto the harvest, colon, and in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in the bundle, bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat in my barns. Now, when you look at it from that perspective, we've discussed some things. I'm just going to ask again, just from a review perspective. What does this have to do? What is the picture that he's trying to give us from a perspective of the kingdom? He's saying when you have wheat and tares that's growing together, he said the kingdom of heaven is like this. When you have wheat and tares that grow together, why would you let the wheat and the tares grow together and then separate it during the harvest time? You don't really have to answer, but I'm just asking you a question to get you prepared for it.
Well, you say so, you don't affect the wheat.
You said so it don't affect the wheat?
Right, so you don't affect the wheat in pulling out the tares.
You don't pull out the tares because in doing so, it will cause an issue that will happen with the wheat. Now, when you look at it from that perspective, I'm trying to keep from getting ahead of the lesson, so I can't do it. Because if I do, I'm gonna tell you the mystery behind it. I'm gonna just let the scripture show it. Okay, so let me continue to go. Verse 31. Another parable put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is least the smallest. Okay. Which indeed is the least, it's little and small, the least of all seed. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh like a tree. So mustard seed is one of the smallest seed that you can come across, but yet when you plant it, it grows up and becomes a tree. He said the kingdom of heaven is like this. Okay? And becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. He gives that one. He goes into another. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Okay, it's like unto leaven. Have you heard people talk about leaven or fermented bread? Most bread we eat now, it has yeast in it or some form of fermentation that caused it to rise. Okay? He said, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which when a woman took and hid in three measure of meal to the whole of leaven. Okay, to the whole of leaven. Now we start at the bottom of this. Verse 34 said, all these things spake Yehoshua unto the multitude in parables. And without parables spake he not unto them. Verse 35. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. So our Savior is doing this because it's written that he would do it. Spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Yehoshua sent. So you look at these things that kept secret from the foundation of the world. But we have the privilege as our disciples to understand these things. Okay? Now, I'll keep moving because I want to get to the revealing of a lot of these parables that he's talking about. Verse 36 says, then Yehoshua sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare to us the parables of the tares of the field. Here's what it means then. You got wheat, and you got tares growing together. They understand the parable of the seed in the ground because he gives the understanding of those parables. We went over it. Now he's going to give us the understanding of the tares and the wheat. He said, well, give us the understanding of what you mean by the kingdom of heaven is like these tares and like this wheat. Verse 37, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. Verse 38. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked. So he's saying, we're going to be in circumstances where there are going to be wicked in the world that we're going to have to be amongst that. That's why when you get church folk get to talking about, I don't deal with them wicked folks. No, the scripture is letting us know that some stuff we're going to be growing up right in the midst of. Okay, verse 38, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked. Verse 39, the enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. See this? The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. And they shall gather out of his kingdom all things. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. Y'all see this? All things that offend, all things that are stumbling block, all these things that hinder his children, all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them in the furnace of fire. Tear. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's the parable of the sword. Then he says, then shall righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And you know that who have ears to hear with the intent of understanding, to be reported to understand, those that say amen, those that say it, make sure that you understand. Okay, go ahead,
Jessica. I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Is verse 41 where it says, Son of Man shall send forth his angels, is that literal angels or can that be messengers?
Messengers? The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. You can declare that as actual angels, but when you look at it in the textual meaning that it is, how is that word sown through a messenger, an angel? An angel can be considered a messenger or a pastor. Shepherds. As I had mentioned earlier, they were disciples when they stood among Christ, but when they went out, they were the shepherds, angels, messengers. Okay, so again, verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his messengers, his pastors, his shepherds, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. All things that are stumbling blocks. In other words, John said, I'm looking for somebody to operate like Christ and to be able to take my children and be able to separate them from that which is, to be able to gather them and separate them from that which is operating in wickedness. How can they hear without an angel, preacher? Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 14. We can go there. We've dealt with it, but we can go there real quick to show you the operation as far as the angels are concerned. Romans 10, and we'll come back. Romans 10, most preachers just deal with verse 9 and 10. That verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jehovah Yeshua. And shall believe in thine heart that Yah has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, his mental disposition, believe unto righteousness, and his confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, Israel and the Gentile. For the same Jehovah over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Salvation comes to the Gentile as well as the nation of Israel through the Messiah, through Christ. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon his name, call upon the name of Jehovah shall be saved. What does it mean by call on? Not just say, oh, Jesus. So when you look at the call, it deals with it from a perspective of a relationship. Whosoever shall have a testimony, be a witness that he is or has done for them, what the scripture says. Whosoever shall call, become a testimony, make a decision. Whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without an angel? It's that preacher. But when you look at the scripture, it is how can they hear without someone to publish the information? Okay? Someone to herald the gospel. But at the same time, this is the same perspective from when we look at it dealing with the preachers. Because as we deal with verse 15 says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news. So when you look at that word preach and you continue to understand it from the perspective by which it's written in Romans 10, and then you get to Matthew chapter 13, you can look at some things from a perspective of the angels. Because we know that the angels are going to gather the elect from the four corners of the earth. But at the same time, it's vitally important for us to understand that, yeah, preachers can be classified as angels. Okay? But to stay within the context or meaning, looking at all the scriptures precept upon precept, the scripture reveals that the angels are going to gather the elect of Israel from the four corners of the earth. But at the same time, that can be translated as messenger or pastor. Okay? When you look at that world, we are to go out into the highways and the byways and bid people to come. Bid people to come. But at the same time, actual angels are going to gather the nation of Israel and all those who believe the true message of the kingdom. So all of it has a truth to it, okay? Now, I'm going to get ready to close. I'm going to see what else we can read. Yeah, the other one is going into another perspective. Yeah, I'll stop here since it's still a whole lot. It's all the way down to verse 58. So I'll go ahead and stop here. We'll just stay on time. I'll go ahead and stop here. We'll pick up in Matthew 13 again. Go ahead and
finish your thought on 25. Said you don't want to jump ahead, but you can come back and address.
Oh, I did. Verse 25, it says, and while men slept, his enemy came
not,
and stole.
Not 25. What you asked the question, why let the wheat and the tares?
Oh, okay. When I said why let the wheat and tares? Okay, why let the wheat and tares grow together?
Yeah.
Well, when you look at it, let me see the verse. verse 41 answers that question to a certain perspective. When I say why I let them grow together, it is because in a nutshell, Yah is the one who does the separation. That's how to answer the question. It is not our responsibility to determine what should be uprooted as far as the tares are concerned, because in doing so we will pluck up some of the wheat associated with it. Yah through His Son is the one who makes the decision about who walks in who will be gathered or not. I'm gonna say it that way. Y'all's the one who makes that determination. That's why when you get a lot of church folks who be saying, "Oh, child, I don't pay no attention to them because they ain't saved." Well, here because we're not accountable for that. We could be pulling up wheat and think that we're pulling up tares. Yeah, but it ain't your responsibility. I am the Lord of the harvest. I make a determination when it's time to pluck up. I'm the one that sent the angels in. Okay, verse 40 and 41. As the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels. Okay, we ain't ever been trying to do it. I don't know who the remnant of Israel is. I say that with a grain of salt. I may know. I can be able to determine what we determine. It's not my responsibility to try to determine like a lot of Israelite brothers do. They try to determine who all going to heaven and who all going to hell. Ain't nobody going to heaven but Israel. You're not the Lord of the harvest. You don't determine what gets plucked up and what gets left. So you look at things from those perspectives. That's what it means to understand who is going to separate the wheat from the tares. It's not our responsibility to do that. We can't send nobody to hell or make somebody righteous. What we're responsible for doing is gathering, teaching, sowing the word, doing all the things that's necessary in order to bring forth the fruit of that wheat. Okay. Anything else? Did you have something? Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and stop here, and we'll pick up again on next week in Matthew chapter 13. Father Yah, we bless Your name on today. We thank You that we are being positioned to sow the seed of the word, to bring forth the fruit that You deem necessary to harvest at the end of the world. And we glorify You for the great privilege and honor that You bestowed upon us as a ministry to see the truth and to be able to proclaim it. We thank You that the angels, the shepherds, will be sent forth into the harvest field to gather, but even at the end of the world, the angels will be sent from the Most High to gather together the elect of Israel and all those who plead to the household of Israel to place us back in our own land. We glorify You for that. In the name of Yahushua Mashiach, we do pray. Amen. All right. Okay. That's all I have, y'all. Y'all remember, worship Yah in spirit and in truth. You are dismissed.
Night.
Good night, Mom.